Welcome. Welcome to our home at Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I am Errol Strider. I got that right.
I have to cue him.
And yeah, she holds up this piece of paper when to that lodge.
So he knows his name. Yeah. And we invite you over tonight for some conversation, laughter, spiritual opinions, and as many surprises as possible. But then again, only our innocence can really be surprised.
Whoa. She never said that before.
Our time.
Our time with you tonight is gifted. I love that. By Go Raw, 100% raw food that not only is good for you, but it tastes so good and it's crunchy. I love crunchy food. Lot of it. Go Raw can be found at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and the organic section of Costco. Go to Go Raw. Treat yourself to one of their amazing products. And you can go to their website, www.goraw.com. And we want to wish our benefactor, Rob, a big happy birthday. We miss him. He and his family, he is the I guess he's the CEO of Go Raw, and he got married this year. And anyway, hope you're doing good, Rob, and we hope you all are doing especially good and playful tonight. And you can call in and join us anytime during our conversation at 888-627-6008. 888-627, write it down. Write it down. Go on. 627. Get the pen. Come on, it's over there. Oh, that pen didn't work. Get the other one. The one that works. There you go. Okay. Yeah. Well, you got to shake the pen sometimes and rub it on the piece of paper. Then you can write the last four numbers.
But most of you who have computers, just type it in.
6008. So here we are. It's Christmas Eve.
You didn't give the full number. By the time they got their pen, all you gave them was the last four digits.
I just wanted to see what they're like, how they handled running around like that, looking for their pen. You did good. 888-627-6008.
Pretty good. You know, when we were talked about surprise, I talked about surprises anyway, I just remembered what it's like to be surprised. Not scared, but surprised. Something that you didn't think could happen happens. Or you're given something that you didn't believe you could have. Or whatever. I mean, whatever surprises you. The fact that somebody is gentle and kind may be a surprise. The fact that someone gets upset can be a surprise.
Anything could be a surprise.
Yes.
So let's devote our show to the whole surprise thing.
Yeah, which is holidays are always a surprise. I mean, even though they're ritual and we know exactly what we're supposed to do, something about it in that moment is a surprise.
Yeah, well, because you don't really know what's in the box.
That's right.
And it just kind of comes out and goes, boop, it's me, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And
you have
then
no way of knowing.
I remember once I opened a Christmas present, and I'll explain how we as a Jewish family had Christmas and why I was convinced there was a Santa Claus, by the way, for a long time. But I remember she gave me a sweater.
Yes?
Yeah. And I opened it and it was like...
A sweater?
A sweater.
How old were you?
I don't know. As a kid, you know,
right,
in grade
kids
school.
Kids don't like clothes as
a gift. Sweater? Mom! But then one year, this is the story I wanted to tell, I got this, like a little miniature kind of pinball machine. It was just a hand thing, about a foot and a half by 2 feet long, and it had a little spring thing, and the ball went around. And I guess I was convinced they would never give me something like that, so therefore there must be a Santa Claus.
Wow.
Yeah, I was convinced that they just wouldn't do that. They wouldn't give me this, so it's not them. So it must be Santa Claus.
Wow, that's really amazing.
Yeah, and that lasted until I was about 42. And then...
Just yesterday.
Right. So gifting, it's just an amazing... time to ponder. Now, here's something I wrote in my Facebook today, and hopefully some of you are listening because of that, that it's this odd mixture of what I called thrusting toward the sacred and crass materialism, merchandising.
No judgment about that.
Well, wait a minute.
Crass?
Well,
crass.
Wait a minute. This is a good question. Is crass necessarily a judgment word, or can it just be descriptive? That's a good point.
Well, I think all adjectives are judgments. They're descriptive, but yeah, every time you describe something, you're creating a judgment. I mean, because it's your subjective opinion what it looks like.
That's right. I see that as I look at the word crass. And sometimes I feel like even saying that, I feel crass.
You see.
I do. It's like, because I have to hold crassness in my being to be able to throw it on them. And you just helped me understand how judgment works. By holding the judgment, you have to hold it in yourself. So that means both of you are being oppressed by that judgment. It's impossible not to hold it myself if I'm projecting it out.
It's fun. I mean, it's fun to see that.
What do you mean it's fun to see that?
Yeah, it's fun when you see that, you know, when you realize what it is, this mechanism that turns out as a judgment and how the mechanics of it. It's really fun. Thank you for discovering that and sharing it. That was really fun.
Well, so much of our center of our process is to catch ourselves in that judgment and notice that it keeps me separate. But I get separation. Like the other day, I said something about some people to somebody else, and I looked at it and I thought it was really an arrogant judgment, and it was coming from a place in me that was just not conscious. But I was so grateful that I became aware of that.
Yeah, I would say so too.
Well, especially since it was a judgment about, well, you.
Well, and that's okay. I'm glad you got to see how ridiculous it was.
That was good, Rochelle. That was so good. I was waiting. Talk about holding on to the past. I was waiting for her to get irate or like put her hands on her hips and hump.
I surprised you.
You did. That was so good. Speaking of a surprise, just to kind of give you a sense to kind of gather yourself and get ready for joining us more, as we're going to really deepen into the essence of this this
crass materialistic holiday.
Well, I wasn't thinking of going.
Which
there.
Is celebrating the Prince of Love.
Yeah, we'll come back. Think about that and what your thoughts are on it, because we've got an opportunity here to listen to one of our favorite performers.
Sweetly singing all the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Excelsis Deo. Into keepy health and heaven gate.
Well, that she was singing, that gal is so eager to come on stage. That was a little taste of someone that we're going to bring on a little later, the Medieval Babes.
And that song was sung by Hugh Jackman, and I have to confess, Errol and I love Hugh Jackman.
So we allow ourselves to do a pas de trois.
We first fell in love with him when we saw him play Curly, right?
Well...
No, what's the guy's name in Oklahoma?
Yeah, Curly.
In Oklahoma, a British, the Shakespeare, was it Shakespeare Theater? It was a British production of it. And it was just marvelous. And he was wonderful. He danced and he sang. And we went, who is that man?
Oh, my God.
Who is he? Who is he? I mean, we were in love with him. We heard he was going to be in San Francisco doing a one-man show, and we immediately got tickets. We didn't even look at the price. We just went out and saw him, and we're like two teenagers poking each other and going, isn't he wonderful?
Well, he's like perfect. I mean, to me, Hugh Jackman is like perfect.
It was so funny, and we're like these little fans. We're these fans of Hugh Jackman. I mean, we even see terrible movies he makes. We don't care, just to look at him.
He did not make one terrible movie.
Oh, he's made terrible movies.
All his movies were A+, right?
You haven't seen the ones he made that were terrible.
But back to the song and back to Christmas, as much as we love you, thank you, Hugh Jackman, for being in our life. So we're looking at this place that we come to, that we give ourselves permission once a year to at least peripherally acknowledge something that is good and a blessing and innocent and of the highest, of the transcendent, however far away we may come from that. There's a moment where we are like spurred to give. I think, you know, people are wrapping presents.
Yeah, I mean, people tend to be very pleasant until they get in their cars and can't find parking places and have to wait on very long lines.
Well,
and then they have to work at it and being pleasant and being
funny.
Kind.
That's funny. It becomes a task.
Yes. I'm going to be pleasant because it's Christmas. They get in their cars and they're by themselves and they're cursing and screaming at you.
Well, but so from my point of view, at a theological perspective, this incarnation, this expression of utter innocence breaks through into the evolutionary context on this particular planet. Something special has been inserted in the scheme of things into civilization in the form of a life that's come in a very special way. I want to say on a sleigh and with reindeer. But
you know, you're so poetic. You're even poetic when you're sort of like, you know, putting forth a point of view or anything, but there's a poetry to the way you sculpt words in the way you talk.
Well, I think what if he did come in on a reindeer on a sled?
Well, I don't know how he came in, but the essence of who he is something that I know that I can have at any just by asking for it.
It's like his incarnation was like a breath of perfect air that comes to you as you rise up out of the water, let's say, and you've just totally run out of breath, and you rise up out of that water and you inhale. And maybe that's what baptism is all about, as I think about it. You go in that water and you come out of that water and you take a breath, and faith, which is so, what a gift that is brought to this consciousness, the gift of faith, is that ability to embody, live, apprehend, express, have, be a quality of life that you want to have in your life. however you might frame it in terms of externals.
Well, most people would not like to frame that life. You know, they did nail him to a cross. I mean, he was a cute little baby born in this manger.
They didn't know who he was. They had him mixed up with another
guy. I know, but the thing is, that's scary for some people. So this is the essence of love, you know, on this planet. And what do we do with him? We kill him. You know, so that's pretty scary. So that's not a very good advertising gimmick for love. Be a lover. Be crucified. You know,
it's Christmas, though. We'll cover that
at Easter.
At Easter. Let's just concentrate on
the little baby in the manger.
The little babe in the manger. And the fact that the way I look at it, it's like infinite divinity, the wholeness of all existence that is riddled with succulent drops of discrete particles of bliss.
My God, that's almost dangerous.
Well, that's the way it wanted to get described in this moment. Did you get that? Don't forget your discrete particle of bliss. We're offering them.
You did get that. I can see by your face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that Christmas, you know, it's like so many holidays wrapped into one, that, and we're given this as this day that this child who grew up to be Yeshua, Ben Joseph, and had
Yeshua.
A calling for sure, you know, given to us on this planet to plant the seeds of love, true love. I mean, a love that we, you know, that only a few people were aware of, and planted the seed so that someday all of us could be aware of it.
But the seed had to be planted through an incarnation, which evidently is what happened. Let me share this poem that I wrote. I think this is a good time to do it. I call it Seduction. And yeah, let's just do this and see if this might be a more poetic way to come at it. It's called Seduction. Come, Mary. Come, Joseph. I have a word I would give birth to, a word I would make flesh. I would the world know me in the simple attire of itself, its humanhood. Come, Mary and Joseph. Be not afraid to conceive me, of me, for me, to nourish together a child of promise and surprise. To raise God in your home. I would that you share this child with me, that he be soft as flesh and hard as bones, as well as wistful as spirit and open as thought. Come, Joseph, be the implanter of divinity for me. Come, Mary, receive my essence into your cavity. Be parents of my son, the personhood of who I am. For I have given my I am to my universe, And I would that all see the depth of who they are and the richness of who they can be. I would give my personality to inhabit helplessness as a lesson to all my children of the power of surrender, of how much I can trust myself to them, that they might be inclined to trust themselves more to me, that we may become a child together and suckle one another. Joseph, come. Mary, come. Be not afraid of me. Fear not to fall. You may eat of me now. You may drink of my soul and pour it out for all to see, the stunning hope that I am, that I can be, as each of you give birth to me, as the child in you, innocent and free. The child in you, full-bodied divinity.
We have to say something or they'll think we went off the air. But it's hard to talk after that.
Well, I hope it's not hard for you, listener. I hope you were touched as much as I was. You know, it's a poem that I wrote many years ago, and I've been looking for it. It was very interesting. I couldn't find it till tonight. I looked earlier today. I looked through three different computers, and it's because I had the title wrong.
Really? What did you think it was?
I thought it was called The Innocent.
Wow.
In my mind, it was called The Innocent, but it's called Seduction.
Well, maybe you have to redo it.
No, I like Seduction, but I thought it's all about that innocence. I hope it took you on a good ride and it helped you touch.
Well, it did. It did. It took me on a good ride and it touched me very deeply. I hope it did the same for you.
And you're listening to Inside Out, The Naked Truth.
Well said.
From Los Gatos, California. It's December 23rd, 2014.
It's the last night of Hanukkah and 2 days before Christmas.
And it's the second day of the days getting lighter.
That's right. Sunday was the solstice.
Right.
Right. So all these they've converged into one, you know, like in some way, even though they're separate things.
It's a magical triangulation, but it sounds too much like strangulation.
Sometimes it can feel that way. Boy, dry today. We had sun here today. Are you
aware of
it?
Speaking of sun, I went up. We live here on Lupin Lodge. We have 110 acres. There's some wonderful hillsides you can go up. And it's wonderful to be in a place where if you don't have to wear clothes like today, it's been raining so long, I could just not wear clothes and go be in the sun. And I climbed to the highest place up on above the pool area, and I sat in the sun until it went down. And I thought, I'm going to come back and however many days and see how much time, because it was exactly 4 p.m.
Wow.
That it went down below the hillside.
Wow, you checked it.
Yeah.
Well, next time we'll let you know what happened. Ask him what happened.
Will the sun be coming down on the other side of that mountain as it always does? It could not on some occasion.
Now, Errol, you know, I have a very sweet girlfriend, and she looked at Errol one day and she said, "You're an entertainer. That's what you are." And he is. He's an entertainer. And And he doesn't miss a moment in which he can entertain. You know, so if you're here like you are tonight with us, he's going to entertain you.
Let me entertain you. Well, in a way, that's kind of what God did when he came down and incarnated. He says, let me entertain you. Let me make you smile. It was the incarnation was kind of like.
Now he thinks he's Jesus.
Now? What do you mean now? Like, what have we been doing all these years? Now? You just noticed? Oy, I had this thing about finding Jesus. People don't talk to me much about, oh, this is Errol's grandfather, Julius. And I was like, he comes to me one day and he says, Grandpa Julius, I found this guy, Jesus. And I'm going, Jesus? Jesus? And like in Jesus Christ, you know? And you say like, oy, and you hit your head. You say, Jesus Christ? You don't mean that fella, do you? And he says to me, yeah, he met that fellow. It was like this thing that was like Jesus. And I said, what is that? You know, it's like, what is it doing with you? And he said to me, well, it was like a piece of his, how did he put it? Like a piece of his soul that kind of fell into place that had been missing. I thought to myself, yeah, if nothing else, he has a nice way of saying it. But he was like, and then he says, you know, it's like, Grandpa, you want to see like a connection made between the parts that are over here that don't get along with the parts that are over there. It's really that simple, you know. And so it's like he comes in, he says, he used a metaphor like of a movie that they saw. It was like, do you remember Back into the Future? It was like they were there back and then they went the future, then they couldn't make up their mind. They went back and they went to the future and they went back and then they looked over to the side and became.
Are you going on?
I tell you,
I think he ran
going,
out of stuff.
No, I'll tell you the metaphor he used. He says, you remember that moment when the professor was the end of the movie in order to get the lightning to strike the car so that the car would hop back to the future, to the present from the whatever it was. And he picked up the cable that had been broken, and he held both ends of it. And the electricity went from the top of the church steeple through him into the car, and the car went whoops, and they zipped back into the present.
What happened to him? I forgot.
He survived, but to me, Errol said he's like a Christ figure. Think of it like that, putting parts together that didn't want to come together. This is like a mechanical thing that's a person also.
My God, so that's your work, huh? You're all putting parts together that wouldn't have gotten together otherwise.
Well, just this morning in my meditation, out of Yeshua's mouth, I believe this to be true, he says, will is the activation of wholeness. Will is the activation of wholeness.
Wow.
And so it's like, any time I have an effort toward recognizing, facilitating a more integral or a more integrated state of which I'm a part and obviously can influence, I am, that's when my will is really doing its thing.
Cooking.
Yeah, it's like cooking.
It's cooking.
Cooking will. We're going to have cooking will on this show next week. But I want you to, while you're thinking about calling us, I know your hand's just like right at that phone, but I'm going to give you a little surprise. This isn't exactly a song we associate with Christmas, but it has almost more to do with Christmas than any other. So let's, not more than any other, but certainly as much as many of them. Here we go. After all, what's the point of the incarnation if we weren't glory bound?
Medieval Babes?
No.
What's that?
We haven't gotten to those. No, that's the Waylon Jennies.
Oh, Waylon Jennies. Funny.
The Waylon Jennies, the Medieval Babes, the Scarlett O'Hara's.
Isn't Glory Bound, wasn't that written by, what's his name?
No.
No?
No, I think this is their song. I wanted to focus on a lyric. She talks about, when I'm in my resting place, I look at my mother's face. Well, it reminded me that what's one of the main perks of the incarnation? In other words, if you're doing an advertising thing and it said, here's the kind of revealer, he's going to show you, you know, like the best stuff. And, but wait, he's also going to show you how to get to eternal life. And for those of you who are interested, come on, take a look.
Wow. I don't know. I don't know that I personally... That wasn't why I bought them.
Well, it's, I'm telling you,
I bought them because, well, one, you know, he visited me and told me to buy them, but
and it was on sale.
Yeah, that's right. It was a good price. I didn't, and all it was going to cost me was the rest of my life, you know, but
what else did you have to do?
Right. But I did get that. One of the things, you know, when I asked, well, what, you know, what am I getting from you? And he said, I'm going to teach you about love, you know, like how to be a lover. And that was the seduction. That was the hook for me. That was the bait.
Then he introduced me into the scenario of Rochelle's
learning
class.
If you're
going to
learn how to love,
I'm going to
give you this guy.
I'm going to give you this. And the thing that gets you by it is your, what's the recent refrain you have? I married
an artist, but now I'm turning it into I married a klutz. It works much better, really does.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I have to think about that. Does klutz work as good as artist? I don't know. I like artist kind of.
Artist is good, but some things don't fit into that category, you know,
That's
when you
true.
Do them.
You
know,
can you so, be like a klutzy artist or an artistic klutz?
Oh, an artistic klutz. I
think
like
of
that.
Myself as an artistic klutz. I married an artistic klutz.
We'll call you that.
There you go. Yeah. All right.
I married an artist. I think
works.
I could write that up in a book. Good. I married an artistic klutz.
Right. Pretty much. Let's stop. Do we have anybody down there? I think of down there, like these radio signals are like up in the stratosphere, and you all are down there on Earth listening to these signals. But from up here, way up here, it's really something that we're seeing this incredible opportunity. See, I really do believe that in that incarnation was a, as I say in the beginning of one of my shows called Birth, it says, in the panoply of time, the human upreach never goes unheeded, but is always met by the divine downreach, extending itself into the domain of the finite.
I think that also depicts, what's his name, the Sistine Chapel, you know, where they, those fingers meet.
Right.
That's such a perfect picture of what you just said.
In the domain of the finite. Yes, it is a perfect. And when you think about it, here's this incredibly vast thing that we think of as the universe, infinity, and it's riddled with multi-billion phenomena occurring. And it's this whole, it's this one all thing. I read today, existence is seamless. It's seamless. There's,
I know, yet for so many people, like the sky is like a backdrop, or a, like, you know, like a cover that was put on the earth. You know, I mean, it's like they, I don't think they, that we, as a lot of people get that that's something out there that's, that exists, that is, it is defined. I mean, it's a materialistic thing out there. You know, there's other material things out there besides us's. And there's so many of them. And we look at those stars and the planets and we, I mean, you know, it's like, oh, there's the decoration for night.
It's interesting because one of the things Yeshua says in this book, he said, when you think about all of infinity and everything, the entire universe, as you are living it and can't imagine it, but it's about like, it's less, you can't really put a real number on it, but it's less than 1% of all that is.
That's pretty little.
Then that's
no, it's really a lot.
That's the entire...
Less than 1% of what is
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, that's the entire universe, the entire physical thing is less than 1% of totality of what is. And see, for me, Yeshua, by going through the human experience, becoming as a babe, as I say in that song, I mean, in the poem, he trusted himself to us. Now, some would argue that we kind of betrayed his trust when we killed him and we didn't want to jump ahead there. That's later in the story.
And everybody who liked him in the beginning got killed too.
Right. And then, of course, in his name, so many things were concocted that just weren't all that healthy. And so we've been stuck with that amazing twisting of something that was so pure and so beautiful. But at this time of year, on Christmas Day, we give ourselves a little bit of permission to jump out of the me first thingy.
Remember that movie we saw that took place during the Second World War? Was it the Second World War or the First World War?
I don't know what the movie is yet.
Oh, when it was Christmas Eve and they stopped fighting.
Right,
and then
right.
They came and they started to share drinks with each other and they caroled together and everything. Was it the First World War?
I think it was. Yeah, they were in trenches. You know,
right.
It was the First World
and
War.
And they came out of their trenches and walked into this place called No Man's Land because, you know, that's where you ducked your head up, somebody would shoot
you. I think
the
movie was called, like, Merry Christmas or something like that.
Yeah, I think... It was a French movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, but of course they had German, French. They had three forces. They had the Scottish,
right.
They had the German, and the French. It's
right.
Like,
yeah.
That made it interesting too.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And they all came together at this one time, and they realized they had to go back and fight each other, and they couldn't. And some of them were court-martialed. They were
sent to different places.
Places in Russia.
Right.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
It was like because they
lost this.
They felt such a connection.
Yeah.
In that one night that it was impossible to go back and kill each other.
And as I recall, it started with a song. And music is, you know, as Shakespeare said, if music be the food of love, play on. Give me excess of it.
You are a man who does that. You love music.
And this is about who he is. God with us. Emmanuel.
God.
Loretta McKennitt.
No.
Why do you say no? Like,
I didn't realize that.
Isn't that amazing? Thank you. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. And you know what? I was supposed to have been named Emmanuel.
Wow.
Not really. Because...
How did Emmanuel go to Errol?
I'm about to tell you. My grandfather's name was Emmanuel.
Wow.
And it was traditional in Jewish families anyway that, you know, you'd get the grandfather's name. And they thought about it and they thought, if we name him Emmanuel, he'll probably be called Manny. So they shifted it to Errol.
And like two totally different fruits.
And they gave my cousin... Guess what his name is?
Manny.
Manny. They gave Manny the name Emmanuel, and he's been called Manny. And I think it's, you know, I think as a result of it, he's very twisted in his outlook on reality.
What?
Rochelle's looking, no, I'm just teasing.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, oh, it was terrible.
I didn't think so, because he's a loving
no,
man.
No, he's a
I
very sweet
him.
Man. He's taking care of my 95-year-old Aunt Dorothy. In Kansas City, Missouri, and Manny as being a beautiful son. He's just looking after her in her transitional days.
Yeah, she's old. I mean, I think I'm old, but she's older.
So we are Inside Out. You want to check in? You can still call us at, what's the number, Rochelle?
Oh, 888-627-6008. Once again, 888
627-6008. And there you have it. And again, I want to thank our sponsor, GoRaw, who's been so supportive of us all year long. Just week after week, comes through not only with providing the planet with some righteous, really righteous food, but being so supportive of us and our desire to reach out and reach in and give
it. Reach in and out. Inside out.
Exactly. Therein is the title of the very piece.
And of course, you know, the naked truth, you know, that truth has no adornments. Truth is what it is, whatever it is, whatever it means to you, what happens to you. It's like food, you know. Truth is like food. You eat it and something happens to you as a result of eating it. Some people get sick.
See, I think truth, what makes something truth? I mean, if you think about it, I think it's about a resonance, that truth is that which resonates equally and universally, that anyone can participate in. It's this unique tone that's just like the vibrations are in perfect sync of that which is expressing. And you can tune into that tone. And the way you tune into it, curiously enough, if it was a musical chord that's being played.
What was that movie where they had the tone?
Just a minute.
But that tone.
But it, you have to play with it, and you have to play in harmony with it. That's the key in order to...
Forget it. I don't know how to sing in harmony. I'm lost to the ages.
Some people, you can sing unison as long as you don't sing in another key. That's the deal. You can, and keep your pitch.
Oh, God, I knew it. It's like we were in the hot tub one night, and we were joined by a friend and our young man and who we know, and he was telling us about mountain lions here. Well, I happen to be less than 5 feet tall, and he said, you don't have to worry about it if you are tall. It's like, thank you very much. I really appreciate
then you hid in the hot tub. You just went diving into that.
Right. I mean, you know, the same thing. Like, if you have all these qualities, you can harmonize. Well, I don't have them at all.
Well, that's the beauty of the universe and the process of evolution, is that as things come into it, they're coming in an agitated state that is often an affront to what is. They are different. And that's where the agitation and the conflict is.
What is different?
Something that shows up.
Truth?
No. It could be truth. But something that shows up that shakes everything up, that's uncomfortable, that's painful, that doesn't fit, all the difficulty. And
but we were talking about the truth.
I am. This is how you flip that side into the truth.
Okay, I'll listen.
And so the universe, as you're holding it, to the degree that we tend to want to resist that which is showing up in a not pleasant way, as we use our will and our creativity to expand in such a way that we can include that phenomenon in our universe, we have just literally expanded the universe. The universe literally just got bigger because...
You know that for a fact? You say literally? Is that a fact?
Let me think. Yeah, we have a fact or we have a factoid. I'm thinking it's like a bagelnoid. It's like a factoid. It's not really a fact because you can't really know any of this stuff here from factual. It's really just words doing the futile and feeble attempt to try and grasp at the ultimate meanings. But the meanings are much beyond the words. And so the words, we love you and we thank you for trying, but you're not really able to articulate the phenomenon of that which is ungraspable.
Whew, I got that one. That was excellent. Thank you very much. It said everything.
Though we try, but we have to try. That's the poet in me. The poet says, oh, by golly, I'm going to try. And you do, like that poem I read this evening. And I don't want this evening to have passed without hearing a little bit of the medieval babes. Remember the angel, what we know as the Archangel Gabriel, and he came down to Mary, and he says, Mary, Have I got news for you? Anyway, here he is.
You're going to be growing God.
Yeah, get ready.
His wings as drifted snow, his eyes aflame. Oh, how said he, the lowly maiden Mary, most highly favored lady, Gloria. For no blessed mother thou shalt be, O generations.
By the medieval Babes. Babes is spelled B-A-E-B-E-S. And there, wow, that was beautiful. Thank you, Medieval Babes.
I got to see them the other night. They look like babes.
They do look like babes.
Really?
So there's
hot.
His mother, you see. That was the other part of it. I mean, there's this carrier of this hot new item that's going to hit the planet.
You know, I think of being pregnant. Now, talk about surprises. I mean, I don't know how anybody can be prepared for what actually happens to your body carrying a child. And that child has already been anointed by your love, unless you don't want to have it. But I mean, if you choose this child, that love is already started, because you go through things that you wouldn't go through for another human being on the planet, your child. And I think that if we could see each other as our children, you know, I think you talked once about the Urantia book saying, you know, that first we have brother or sister love, and then we move to father, mother love.
Yes, and it says human love is reciprocal in its satisfaction seeking. Divine love is outgoing in its satisfaction seeking.
Right, and as a parent, you really get that. You know, you just have no expectation to get back, except, you know, those moments of delight, those moments of recognition, those moments of aha moments that your children echo their truth. And those are the most delicious moments in the world. I think that, you know, if God is a father figure to some, that must be probably why, because you believe that there you've been birthed to experience this incredible unconditional love.
Speaking of that, this is a poem I wrote called My Son. I think it mirrors
I
what you're about
that
to
poem.
Say. My son makes me find joy in tires being changed. I should have prefaced it to say we were in a garage and the cars were where they're changing tires and stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, let me back up. My son makes me find joy in tires being changed, in what was once a dirty old garage, now transformed into a rat-a-tat fairyland, and big sticks on the ground, and knobs on cigarette machines, and the floor, and my own heart, when I reflect that I make God rejoice in my changes, in what was once an unworthy little kid, now transformed into a noble sprite, and my discoveries and the turnings of my mind and my center, God's heart voicing glee when I delight in my son delighting back at me.
I remember that place. I remember when it happened.
So we're going to have to kind of close for the evening. We're getting close to that moment. Rochelle, anything else you want to add? We're going to light the candles right as soon as we hang up, because we said we're going to light the candles.
And that's the Hanukkah candles.
Tonight
is the last night of Hanukkah. And I love lights. They just fill me with joy. There's something about lights that are just marvelous. Lights from flame, lights from LEDs, lights from anything, just lights twinkling, beautiful.
And the miracle. I mean, this is our time
to... Hanukkah is.
That Hanukkah is, and I think the miracle that Christmas is, that something truly good and full of life and eternal life is like bursting onto the scene of evolution at just the perfect time. And this is The Laughing Heart, and here we are, and it's December 23rd. And did I say The Laughing Heart? That's our company. That's our website, thelaughingheart.org. Check it out. And we are Inside Out, The Naked Truth.
And remember, pain, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more. Well,
do it again. That's such a good...
Remember, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Really?
So enjoy.
And a Merry Christmas.
And Happy Hanukkah.